Tom. I really appreciate you speaking to us today about your research. I thought we'd just start by just asking you to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so my name's Tom Milner. I started my career by doing a neuroscience degree followed by a medical degree. And so I've been interested in the brain and brain tumours since then, really. After that, I went on to work in NHS as a junior doctor for a few years before starting my training as a pathologist. And I'm currently in the middle of that, but I've taken some time out from that to pursue some research, and I'm very kindly funded by the Brain Tumour Charity, which has enabled me to do a PhD into glioblastomas. So I'm halfway through that. I'll finish in about 18 months, and in the future I plan to be a academic neuropathologist, which means I'll continue my research, but alongside doing some clinical work in the NHS, which will mainly be with brain tumours.
Fantastic. So the work you're doing here, in sort of a layman terms, can you describe what your project is looking at?
Well, so I work in Professor Marino's lab at the Blizzard Institute, which is part of Barts and the London School of Medicine at Queen Mary's University. Yes. So the overarching aims of Professor Marino's group are to try and find the role of stem cells in brain tumours, and also to find which cell exactly brain tumours arise from. So, and we mainly look at glioblastoma, which is the most common tumour in adults, and medulloblastoma, which is the most common children in childhood. And the aim of all this research is to try and find treatments which will be able to be used to improve the treatment and prognosis of these tumours. What my project particularly focuses on is glioblastoma, and I focus on the epigenetics of glioblastoma, with an aim to, again, finding treatments which could be transferable to patients with glioblastoma.
So earlier today you gave us a really good analogy of what epigenetics is. Could you just talk me through that?
Sure. So within each cell in your body, you have a genetic code, and you have genes which are then expressed from genes into proteins. And in tumours, in lots of different types of cancer, but brain tumours as well, you can have mutations within these genes. And those are genetic mutations that can then lead to the cells not functioning as they should, and dividing out of control and forming tumours. But along with these genetic mutations, you also have epigenetic problems within these cells. And that's not that there's a problem with the genetic code or the genetic material itself, but in how the cell accesses that material. So how it reads the code and turns it into proteins or doesn't. A good analogy for how to explain epigenetics is a caterpillar and a butterfly. So a caterpillar and a butterfly are the same organism, they're the same animal, but they look very different and also behave very differently. And yet they have exactly the same genetic material. There's no change in genetic material when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. But what the main difference is that mitigates this change is the epigenetics. And there are a certain set of genes which are expressed, which are turned into proteins in a caterpillar. But then when it begins to undergo this change into a butterfly, the epigenetic mechanisms shut those genes off, but then turn on some other genes. And that's why you get this dramatic change from a caterpillar into a butterfly. And these processes are normal processes in your normal cells, and what explain the differences between different cells in your body. So a skin cell is different from a brain cell, not because of different genetic material, but because of how the genes are expressed. And this process is also going on in tumour cells, and if it goes wrong or starts to go wrong, this can be a major driver of tumour cells, what initiates them, but also then what maintains the tumour and enables it to carry on growing.
So you say you're about 18 months in. How is it going? What progress have you made so far?
Well, so during the first 18 months, mainly I've been setting up all the conditions to enable me to test my hypothesis. And I've set up a technique which is called tissue clearing in brain tumours, which essentially enables you to make tissue almost completely transparent while fixing cells and fixing proteins in the place that they were originally. And this is important because it enables you to then examine these tumours in really interesting three-dimensional ways to see how they're behaving. I've also been looking at a pathway which involves a gene called BMI1, which is an epigenetic regulator within all cells, normal cells and tumour cells. Mm-hmm. And I'm particularly interested in the genes that BMI1 represses in cancer cells. And during the first part of my PhD, I've set up conditions which allow me to modulate or manipulate the levels of BMI1 and some of its targets, repressive targets in the cells, to allow me to increase or decrease the expression of these, and then to see how the cells behave. So the next steps are going to be to gather a lot more data so that I can see if this is making an important difference, which we believe it will, in human tumour cells.
And what will the next step be in terms of future research? What if you're successful in showing that this pathway is important in human brain tumours, what would the next step be?
So the reason that we do all this research into glioblastoma and other brain tumours is to try and improve treatments, to try and find better treatments for people who go through having this terrible tumour. What we're aiming for is discovering a pathway or a connection between genes that will enable us to develop a drug that could target this pathway or specific genes that could then lead to improved treatments and better prognosis for people who have glioblastomas. Mm-hmm.
And so could you describe for us what is a day in the life of your project? Are you in the lab a lot? Do you do lots of analysis? Is there an average day?
Every day is quite different and it depends what experiments are running at the time. But I would say what I normally do is I have a lot of brain tumour cells to kind of maintain and look after. And that's probably the bulk of what I'm doing at the moment. And so what we can do is from a human brain tumour sample, we can isolate glioblastoma cells and get them to grow in the lab. And then they need quite careful maintenance and looking after in the lab, but you can get them to grow to significant numbers. Once you've got the cells that have been growing and are happy in the lab, you can then manipulate the different pathways or different genes that we're interested in with various methods. And once you've done that manipulation, you then can collect the cells in order to analyse the genes and proteins at different levels. So you can look at DNA, RNA and proteins in the different cells. So that takes up a lot of my time, most of my time, I would say.
And what motivated you to get involved into research into brain tumours specifically?
So I've always been interested in the brain and in brain tumours particularly. So I started off by doing a neuroscience degree because I was interested in the brain. And as I was going through my medical training, I spent a bit of time with a neuropathologist in a hospital in Romford when I was a junior doctor. And she really introduced me to brain tumours and to the drivers of brain tumours and the treatment of brain tumours. And I've taken it from there, really. And I've always wanted research to be a big part of my career. And so I applied to do a PhD. And again, thanks to the Brain Tumour Charity mm-hmm. for funding the PhD. I hope to carry on the research throughout my career.
So, in your current research, are you facing any major challenges, or what are the barriers to research in general that you think are preventing progress? And is that something the charity can help with?
Well, I think the funding for brain tumour research over the last 10 years or so has lagged a little bit behind other tumours. But I think now it's starting to catch up. And that's really important because I think you need to build up a critical mass of of researchers and a community that is really wants to make progress within a field. And it's I wouldn't be able to do my research without funding from the Brain Tumour Charity, and so I think it's just really important to get enough researchers interested in brain tumours, especially early in their careers, so that they can then go on to build labs of their own and research networks of their own, which is going to down the line lead to progress in brain tumour research.